Twerculator. It's time for the Twerculator. You ever heard that song?
Okay, welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Katie Nolan. That is Israel Gutierrez, Pablo Torre.
I'm gonna shake my money maker.
Okay. I'm gonna let him finish and then we'll get started.
Are we gonna get sued by the Twerculator?
I don't know who that is.
Is there any shame in the Clippers being outclassed by Luka Doncic?
Outclassed, you say? Yeah, Luka had a great game last night. Obviously, the Mavericks are up now 3-2 in the series on the Clippers. Luka was 42, 8, and 14. He assisted or made 31 of 37 field goals that the team scored. That's like 83.8% of their points he contributed to. It was crazy. He had a crazy game. And after the game, even said, I could have played better because the fourth quarter wasn't exactly stellar for him. Luka saying that he could have played better, for me, if I were on the Clippers, may have stung a little bit considering how well he played. But it will be interesting to see if the Clippers can pull this off. The air ball from Kawhi, the turnovers from Paul George, the fact that Rondo off the bench was like minus 19, all of that, not great, not great. Here's the thing about this series, though. Nobody has won at home. They can only win on the road. So I would say if you are a Clippers fan, put all your eggs in that basket and just know that it's not going to end in the next game. There's going to have to be a game seven.
Good gambling advice.
And just pray for that. That's the best advice that I can give.
The Clippers had a chance to steal the heart of the Mavericks in this game. They had this crazy comeback at the end. They got this turnover from Luka. Luka only had the one field goal in the fourth quarter. It was all set up. Balls in Paul George's hand. And who does he give it to? Terrence, man. Like, why do you have to give it to Terrence Mann? Like, and then Terrence Mann needs to go up and take that shot, but he doesn't. He tries to give it to Nicholas Batum. It was under the rim, and it was just a disaster there. And it's the Clippers being the Clippers again. Like, you had the chance to pounce on it. You had the two games in a row that you'd won. And it's like, all right, let me take control of this series. Let me take their heart. Terrence, man. And it's like, I don't understand it, because it wasn't too long ago where Kawhi Leonard, we were saying, was the best player in the game. And now Luka Doncic makes him feel like two tiers below, like the best player on the court. And so, yeah, I think Luka Doncic could have played a lot better. He took a couple of shots down the stretch there where he was probably feeling himself and missed it and probably didn't think it would be that close to the game, so he took a couple of willy-nilly shots there. But yeah, if he is locked in, if his neck is not hurting, he could carry anybody on the floor to a win against these Clippers. So I'm impressed by Luka Doncic, but I'm also regularly disappointed in these Clippers because, I mean, so many things that happened good for you there, and you can't close it off. You can't not win the game where Reggie Jackson gives you six threes. You just can't. And you had the game. You had the game, Terrence, man.
But that's why Terrence Mann and the Clippers need to be disappointed in themselves, because this entire team was constructed to contend for titles by assembling all of these wing players who could play defense. You have Kawhi Leonard. You have Paul George. You have all these other guys who are also good, by the way. Their number one responsibility, because it is so obvious, because as Katie said, 84% of the Mavericks offense was from one guy who's been doing this all series. Your job is to shut him down. And if Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and those guys cannot do that, then what is the point of this entire organization? I mean, Luka Doncic is incredible. I love him. I mean, look, the guys who he outclassed in that percentage of offense chart, it is LeBron James and Allen Iverson. This is rarefied air. We have never seen someone be so important to a single team quite like this. But the fact that the Clippers weren't able to slow him down enough to keep him under, I don't know, 80%, right? Like, sometimes box scores can be wildly misleading, right? Sometimes you got to watch the game to see what happened. This box score was actually illuminating, because you look at it and you're like, wow, Luka Doncic, a million points. Okay, wait a minute. Tim Hardaway Jr. has 20, and then there's no one else in double digits. And it's just that much more obvious that when Luka Doncic says after the game, I could have played better, he is actually being that kid in school who got like an A-, and it's like,
oh,
I think I failed that. I really think I failed that.
Pablo, they need to start defending him the way they defend Steph Curry. Just send four guys at him to get the ball out of his hand. Previously in the series, Ty Lue was basically saying, hey, we got to run Tim Hardaway off the three-point line. No, get the ball out of Luka's hands. Let the other guys play 4-on-3, 4-on-2, because this is the only guy beating you.
Are you starting to think that Trae Young can knock off Pablo's delicate, brittle 76ers?
I mean, we have to spin it forward in order to fire up Pablo and have him climb up on Mount Pablo to address you all. The Knicks are done. They did well. They tried their best. The Knicks are done. At the hands of Trae Young, who has seemed to have this rivalry going with the fans at MSG more than anything, but which has been very fascinating to watch. Here he was last night in the game. He put
this was mean.
He put a nice bow on the series.
Mean. This was Reggie Miller light. This wasn't even MSG historic mean.
They were trying to like chant encouraging words to their team, and he just shoots
a
40-footer for no reason and does that.
He takes a bow. He's only the second player in history to have three straight 30-point games at MSG in the playoffs. That's one of those stats that's so long that you're like, is this impressive still? I do think that is still impressive. Here's what Trae had to say about it after the game.
Leading up to this game, I know where we are. I know it's a bunch of shows around this city. And I know what they do when the show is over. So that's pretty much what it was.
Look, he's not. If you win the game, you can kind of do that. You get to be like, well, is what it is. We win. Bye-bye. Those are always more interesting to me on a personal level when you lose after being a showboat and you kind of have to speak to that. But obviously, yeah, he's keeping that same energy. What I find interesting, and Pablo, I can't wait to see, is like you have now set yourself up as this villain and you're about to go face off against a fan base that is notoriously, I don't know what to call them without them coming for me, but yeah. I will say it's a little testy with Sixers fans. And now it's like, do you keep going with this I'm the villain, I'm going to yell at you energy? Or do you sort of just like, hey, Philly, I don't want any problems. My issues were with MSG.
Yeah, Philly fans are scary. I got to admit, I feel like because I am like among them, I feel like a velociraptor trainer where I'm like always kind of worried they're going to eat me, but also kind of careful. Like, okay, don't say that they threw batteries at Santa Claus. They get really mad when you say that, even if they allegedly did do that. But Trae Young and the villain thing, Katie, like I respect him so much because he has been the best show in New York City to the contrary desires of New York City in 15 months. That's what he's been doing. And I think every New Yorker deep down in their cold, bitter soul understands that. The thing about the Sixers, though, it's not even about the fan base. It's about the team. Like, am I terrified that Joel Embiid has a torn meniscus? And did I then spend like many hours Googling, can tears be good? And seemingly the answer so far is no. But the team otherwise, I mean, we talked about wing defenders. In Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybulle, they have two velociraptors themselves who should be able to hunt Trae Young down. And let me throw a little cold water on the Trae Young being like a guy who the Hawks shouldn't feel so bad about trading Luka Doncic for, because I am looking at his statistics and he was incredible as a cinematic experience. But 34% from three in that series, 44% from the field overall, 29 points a game, yes, but they can make him even more inefficient. And the Sixers, guys, they are not the Knicks. And I, as always, I resent even the premise of this question.
I mean, Trae Young has not lost a playoff series yet in his career. When was the last time the Knicks won a playoff series, Pablo? Look, I'm all here. I'm here for the Trae Young thing. I'm just sort of working this thing out as you were talking there, Pablo, because not only was he a villain at MSG and is now coming for Philly, so that's your two teams, right? That's also Stephen A's. That's Stephen A's New York Knicks, and Philly is his city. So if Trae Young the evil Steph Curry, right? He shoots from all the same places, but he's like the devil instead of the haloed one. And I love this. I love that it's in the Eastern Conference. I love that it's possible that he's going to shoot his way past Philly if Embiid is not healthy. Because look, I know that Seth Curry and Tobias Harris can give you a game here and there, but if you don't have a healthy Embiid, I don't think you can go back to, hey, Ben Simmons, give us like a 20-point triple-double all the time. You'll probably get a lot more attention on the hack of Ben and probably do that more often. I know he was 5 of 8 yesterday, but come on. Like, you know he can get back to that 0 of 9 range as a free throw shooter. So I'm all here for Trae Young coming in and wrecking the playoffs, because remember how hard of a time a lot of people gave him when their coach Lloyd Pierce got fired, said Trae Young is maybe a coach killer here, and here he is in the second round taking down the Knicks and maybe the Sixers. I am here for this.
Maybe the Sixers. Can we just stop this? Can we stop this? Like, what the Hawks taunted the Knicks for doing, celebrating you know, a playoff win, we are doing with the Hawks and the Sixers. Yes, you won a series against the Knicks. Congratulations. Yes. And you have a guy who is the Wario of Steph Curry's and Trae Young. Congratulations.
Up next on HQ.
I thought you were going to say you had it, and then you saw somebody on the Hills have it, and you were like, oh, God, I got to get this covered up. But instead, it was your inspiration was a guy named Brody on the Hills.
I think it was Brody.
Do you question if Lynn Bowden Jr. should already regret giving himself a tattoo?
I bet he regrets a lot. Lynn Bowden Jr., a utility player out of Kentucky, drafted by the Raiders, who very quickly was traded to the Dolphins, gave himself a tattoo. Oh, look at the dolphin. Oh, my God. I purposefully didn't prep. I didn't want to see it. I knew the shock value would be... Holy, that's like the other day when me and Mina tried to draw all of the logos from the team. That, I think we've drawn better.
Yeah,
thank you so much for having that ready to go.
Yeah, how dare you categorize me in the class of Lynn Bowden Jr., who, by the way, like, can we just go back to Lynn Bowden Jr. for a second? Because it looks like those, like, sun rays. Like, dude, did you even try? Did you run run out of ink?
Like, it's just entirely off memory. Not even, like, what the logo looks like, but what a dolphin looks like. Like, do they just kind of smile? Like, where is this other fin over here?
I think I respect the blind confidence because I can't relate to it at all. Like, I've never considered giving myself a tattoo, but if I was going to, I would A, definitely Google the image and have it ready to go. B, I would probably find some way to make, like, a temporary tattoo to put it onto my skin so then I could just basically trace it.
Yeah.
There's so many ways that you could have made this work, but I think he didn't care about making it work. He just wanted the tattoo. And that's kind of seems like his approach to all of it is like, I don't care. I'm going to just go do it. And man, do I wish I had even a dash of that energy.
Do you guys have any tattoos you regret?
No,
I have zero tattoos because I would regret all of them.
Yeah, I'm a big baby. There's nothing I like that I like forever.
I mean, I regret 75% of my tattoos. But going into the tattoo situation, I've always said, you know, I don't really care that much. I don't really think it's that deep of a situation. So I'm just going to get something that I'd like looking at. And, you know, damn it if I don't really like looking at it anymore.
I'll tell you the
funniest story. It was probably this one. And I don't really tell this one much. But, you know...
Wait, bring it to the camera. Bring it to the camera.
Sorry. That's just an old... English letter I, right?
Okay.
And most people think it's a J, which really ticks me off. It's like, no, it's an I. But I was
like
watching, I was at my sister's house and I was watching The Hills. You remember that reality show back in the day? This was like mid-2000s. And I want to say it was Brody Jenner, one of the dudes whose name start with a B. And he had an old English B, I want to say right here, somewhere on his forearm. I was like, you know what? That looks cool. I popped up off the couch. I went to tattoo.
That was your reason for doing it.
Eye right there.
100%. I thought you were going to say that you had it.
I don't like that show. I don't know that dude.
Oh,
I just like it.
I thought you were going to say you had it, and then you saw somebody on the Hills have it, and you were like, oh, God, I got to get this covered up. But instead, it was your inspiration was a guy named Brody on the Hills.
I think it was Brody. This one. This one, I was at my sister's house again. Seems to be where all my tattoo stories go. This is a sun of some sort. It's just a sun.
Of some sort. It's permanently on your body.
All right. And so I went with my sister because she was going to get a tattoo. And get this, she was a nurse. Well, she still is a nurse. So she got like a lifesaver tattoo on the small of her back with little wings on it. It was hilarious. But she said she wasn't going to get anything unless I went with her. And I went and she said, no, I'm not going to get anything unless you get a tattoo also. And I'm just like, well, Jesus, I didn't plan this. So I just flipped through the book,
what do
found
I
this
love?
Little sun and said, hey, let's do this. I
love the sun.
I love vitamin D.
You gave prime real estate to just a brainstorm?
Well, this is Katie. Yeah. We've now realized why Izzy got any of his tattoos. It's for the opportunity one day to flex them on television.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not
that's
true.
For somebody who wants to show their body off.
Deltoid? Is that a deltoid?
Do you question if this is a good pitch or a bad swing?
All right, this is Mets Diamondbacks. We have Ketel Marte at the plate. Earlier in the game, he hit a home run, but he's a switch hitter. Here he is on the other side of the plate and on the ground.
Oh. his tail. Oh boy.
Can he see the ball as well from this side of the plate? Because it's not something you should be swinging at.
Oh no.
He could have had.
That's a little bit embarrassing.
That feels like he was trying to check and then got distracted by the fact that he needed to save his ankle. I understand it.
But that's where you need to grab your ankle and be like, I am injured.
Yeah.
This is why this happened. We need people who are humiliated virally in games. They need to just take this advice. Pretend you're injured. We will be too scared to joke about you on television. But today, because Ketel Marte decided to be honest, we are laughing at him very hard.
Learn from Jimmy Butler. Cover your eyes. Just start going writhing in pain and then just... just kind of see if anybody's still paying attention. And they're still paying attention. Oh, my face. Oh, but the ball hits you on the ankle. Oh, my face.
Yeah, do that. Do specifically that.
Like a little bit, like 75% of that.
Tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, Nuggets and Blazers.
Oh, CC, very intrigued. Now that the Celtics are out, this is a full-blown Nuggets household. Which is tough because, you know, Dame's really good. And we, for all the talk about Damian Lillard, because he had 55 the other night, we really didn't talk about Jokic going 38, 11, and 9. He had a great game. There was this pass I believe we have a clip of.
Oh, this was so good.
Just a joy to watch.
Oof.
Beautiful.
Like, he calls for the cutter, and that frees, like, the 2 inches needed. Ugh.
It's perfect. It's beautiful basketball, and I sure hope that they can. It's so hard to watch this series with a Nuggets. It's just so hard because there's so much joy in the things that Dame does, but it's not joy when you are a Nuggets fan. And so to hide that is something I'm very much working on. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. Let me go Lynn Bowden Jr. here because I don't have a card. Nice. Yes! Wait.
Yeah.
Yes, I am very intrigued. Jokic is incredible. Jokic, by the way, watching that game, another thing we don't talk about enough, I know we talk about how he's thinner, but he looks great. Like, the angles, the cheekbones, they're all coming out for
What's
him.
Up?
And I'm usually in favor of guys staying, like, in their Al Roker selves because I find it endearing. But Jokic in this form looks fantastic, and he's playing fantastic. So, yes.
Al Roker resents that. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I mean, I had this whole answer ready, and then I was entirely distracted by full-blown Nuggets, and then Pablo going, Jokic is a hottie. I do think that I'm in, but can I just say something about the pass?
No.
I've seen, like, a million angles of it. Like, I've...
Oh, Izzy.
Is it that great?
Woo!
I mean, it's all on the cutter, right? The cutter's the one who fooled the defender. The pass is just a little raindrop. It's just a little lob pass is all it is.
Wow. Raindropping on our parade.
Jokic has so many amazing passes over the course of his career, and we have been, like, drooling over this one for 2 days now, and I
All
just
right.
don't get it.
So that's a no?
Write no on your no. thigh and put it in the screen so we know it's real.
Hang on, everybody, hang on.
He's going to do it with a pen, like we're in social studies.
No.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of technology, we can't see
that.
Any of the things that you wrote.
It's so thin, you can't even see it.
Tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, Suns and Lakers.
Yeah, I mean,
10:30.
Yeah, it's 10:30, which I do wish. And I'm a night owl. It's just like usually by midnight, everything has stopped happening, and I can start playing games on my phone, and now I got to start paying attention to bet. But yes, I'm going to watch it. AD is questionable, probably a game time decision, but Charles Barkley has a new nickname for him.
Anthony Davis, I told you, the Lakers can't win this series. Forget about the championship. They can't win this series without street clothes.
You want to explain that?
Draymond.
Anthony street clothes Davis, because he's always in street clothes.
I don't think the explanation part was necessary. Do you want to explain why you call him street clothes? Well, I put it right there in the middle of his first and his last name, because he's always got street clothes on. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued because this is, I think, permanent marker. Also, because Charles Barkley, like, is there anyone else who we are more mean to with nicknames than Charles Barkley? We call that man the Leaning Tower of Pizza, the Round Mound of Rebound. There are, like, 15 other names. Like, I think he has diplomatic immunity in terms of making fun of someone else's nickname.
I think round mound of rebound is very sweet. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I feel like we're picking on Anthony Davis a lot. Have you come up with a nickname for Joel Embiid yet, Pablo?
Why does he need a nickname? Why? I mean, why? Because he's incredible? I guess that would be a good nickname. Incredible Joel.
Because he has the worst timed injuries of any big man not named Anthony Davis?
Paper knees. That's where I got to in those 30 seconds. Wasn't my best.
Is the show over yet?
Nope. Still going. We're tossing out nicknames. What do you got?
How about now?
Okay, that's it for Highly Questionable. We did our best. If you want more Pablo Torre, you can find him on ESPN Daily. It's a podcast. See, Izzy, where can we find you coming up?
Here.
Cool. Izzy's at his house. You can give him a call. He offers free tattoos.
Get that fireplace going.
Free tattoos anywhere on your body. Tomorrow's Friday. It's Thursday. Bye.